Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, thanks be to God. You may be wondering how long we'll be saying our hallelujahs, Christ is risen. Well, we say it each of the Sundays of Easter, but of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is risen even if we don't say it. We didn't have anything to do with his resurrection. That was accomplished by God the Father Almighty and the Holy Spirit. We didn't have anything to do with establishing the church. The church, rather, is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's built on Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you too, dear Christian people, are also sons and daughters of God by grace, not by nature as our Lord Jesus Christ is, but by God's grace because he has adopted you into his family. He has made you his own dear people for all eternity, or as we could say, forever and forever, world without end. The church is not a human institution, as I said. The church is established by our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is described in Paul's epistles as the body of Christ, and also identified as the bride of Christ. That's what we see in today's reading from Revelation. John is taken up in the Spirit to a high mountain, and there he is shown the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, there has been some discussion, some debate, some controversy in the last 20 years. Did Jesus marry Mary Magdalene? Did Jesus have a wife? Well, no, if he did, he would be a bigamist because he is the bridegroom and his church is the bride. And he offered himself up as a fragrant sacrifice to God. He offered himself up out of love for his bride, to suffer on her behalf, to die on her behalf, to cleanse her through the washing of water with the word. And dear Christian friends here at Mount Olive, you are members of that body. You are members of the bride of Christ. So John is carried away in the Spirit to a great high mountain. In the Scriptures, a mountain is often the meeting place between God and people. Think of Mount Sinai. Think of the mountain to which Elijah fled when, after he had defeated the prophets of Baal, and Ahab and Jezebel were out for his head. Think of the Mount of Transfiguration where our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Well, John is taken up to a high mountain so he can see the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He's not down in a valley, because if he was down in a valley or if he was merely on flat ground, he could not see the bride of Christ in all of her totality, all of her beauty, all of her glory and splendor. He is taken up on a mountain, and there he beholds the holy city Jerusalem. Not the earthly city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. And she is coming down out of heaven from God. She has the glory of God. She is radiant like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Now, I ask you women, do any of you have jaspers in your jewelry collection? Do you even know what a jasper is? Well, Kathy Sigmund told me in Bible class, a jasper is a desert gem. She used to study gemology. But that's G-E-M, not J-I-M, although I guess you did that too. In the Bible, the jasper is the most precious of jewels. And so when John, through the Holy Spirit, describes the New Jerusalem, the holy city, like a jasper, he is talking about the unfathomable, indescribable radiance with which the bride of Christ shines. He goes on to tell us that this holy city had a great high wall. It was something that no enemies could batter their way through. It was something that could withstand any attack, although, as we will see, there won't be any attacks upon the holy city, the New Jerusalem. It was a place of refuge, a place of eternal safety. The Lord is our refuge and strength. A mighty fortress is our God. That is true in this world, but in the life of the world to come, in that New Jerusalem, there will be no more striving, there will be no more agony, there will be no more temptations, no more stumbling and falling. Just as the Lord God is your refuge and your strength now in this world, in the New Jerusalem, He will be your refuge, your strength, your comfort, peace, and joy. And nothing will attack you, nothing will harm you, nothing will shake you from the bliss and beatitude of being in the presence of the triune God, perfected, glorified, just as Jesus, your Savior, was glorified in His human nature following the resurrection, or at the resurrection. This wall has 12 gates. The gates are described as being made of 12 pearls. Now, notice that there are three gates on each wall. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. In prophetic books, numbers have significance. And this is a prophetic book. We aren't to take these things literally that are described here, but they are figurative language used by the Holy Spirit to describe something that is really beyond our imagination to grasp. Now, the three gates, what could that be? Could it be a reference to the Holy Trinity? Duh, well, I think so. And how about four walls? One pointing east, one facing west, one toward the north, and another toward the south. The New Jerusalem is made up of people from every tribe and nation and language. The New Jerusalem is made up of peoples from all over the earth because our Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles, go and preach the gospel to all nations, except those hard-headed Germans. Leave them out. No, Germans too. Go and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. You'll be in this New Jerusalem because you have been inscribed in baptism with the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus has prepared for you a place in this new Jerusalem. We're told that on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed, and the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and on those foundations were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Think of this. This represents the Old Testament saints who believed in God's promise of a Savior to come, and the New Testament saints who have heard the message of salvation in Jesus Christ and by God's grace have come to believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is only one holy Christian and apostolic church, and that church is is made up of all who have faith in God's promises in Christ. So, you'll be able to rub shoulders with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaiah, King David, Paul, Peter, John, James, and your loved ones who have died in the faith, for they are safely ensconced in this heavenly new Jerusalem. Now, Mount Olive has had to move into this fellowship hall for our worship services because that gargantuan sanctuary with its vaulted ceiling and its plate glass windows takes a lot of money to heat and to cool, to pay the electrical bills. Won't be that way in the New Jerusalem. There won't be any utilities in the New Jerusalem. There won't be any luminaries, any lights, except for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of this New Jerusalem. There won't be any church structures built. There won't be any Baptists, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists in the New Jerusalem. Now, don't mistake me. I didn't say no Baptist can possibly be saved, no Lutheran can possibly be saved, no Catholic can possibly be saved, no Methodist can possibly be saved. I didn't say that at all. But the distinctions which we mark in this world will be erased because this is that holy Christian apostolic church that we confess in the creeds. No need of sun or moon to shine on it. The glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. We heard about that on Transfiguration Sunday, how the radiance of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was transfigured was such that it practically blinded the apostles who were there. It was beyond their ability to stand up to. And when the voice from the bright cloud spoke, saying, "This is my son whom I love, listen to him," they cowered in terror. But in the New Jerusalem, there won't be anything to fear. We won't fear God. We won't quake at the knees. No, we will look upon the very face of God. We will be made fit for the glory of God. By the blood and grace of God in Christ, we will be able to experience the fullness of the glory of this new Jerusalem. Now, don't be mistaken. This isn't something you have to wait for. Because your citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven. And from this earth, you look for the Savior who will appear from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he does appear, so will the New Jerusalem in all of her reflected glory. city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. The glory of God gives its light. Its lamp is the Lamb. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. I read several books on the Alamo lately, and they had to keep the gates shut there except when they were letting a courier out to go send messages asking for help. The walls of the Alamo were, in some cases, nearly pounded into dust by the bombardment that they endured. The gates were kept shut, and at night, the defenders of the Alamo had to be especially careful because there might be an attack upon the Alamo, and that final attack took place in the dark when the defenders were most tired, were sleeping, and they were most vulnerable. Well, what's meant here? The gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Is that there will be no enemies of the church, no enemies of God, once the new Jerusalem is ushered in. Nothing to fear. Sin done away with, hatreds done away with, animosities, persecution done away with. For we will be safely with Christ, the Lamb of God, and the Father Almighty. Some might ask, in fact, I know of at least one person who has asked, well, what will keep the same thing from happening in this New Jerusalem that happened in the Garden of Eden? Won't someone be tempted to fall, and won't the whole cycle start over again? No. Just as the angels of heaven now are confirmed in their bliss, so the citizens of the New Jerusalem will be confirmed in their bliss, in the holiness imputed to them in Jesus Christ. Nothing will tempt them. Because, as John says, nothing unclean will ever enter into that city, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false. Satan and his minions had fallen sometime shortly after the creation of the universe. It was as a serpent that the devil, who had rebelled against God, tempted Eve, and she tempted Adam. But again, there won't be any devil. There won't be any temptations. There won't be any sin carried into this new Jerusalem. All sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. The only inhabitants of this new Jerusalem are the saints of God in Christ Jesus, those who have confessed His holy name, those who have stayed true in that confession, those who have looked to Christ alone as their salvation and their victory and their hope. Or as John concludes it, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You didn't write your name there. I didn't write my name there. God the Father wrote your name there from before the foundation of the world, because He knew that by His grace and mercy, the Holy Spirit would bring you to faith in Christ, one redeemed by the holy and precious blood of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.